like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When you take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When you take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.
And good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Shrimp Tank, coming to you every Tuesday morning, broadcasting from the BRS Consulting Studios in the Kirkpatrick Plaza building right here in Little Rock. My name's Rich Jensen, I'm your host, and I'll be bringing my co-host David Sims in just a minute. So what do we do here on The Shrimp Tank? Well, The Shrimp Tank's an amazing show that's really flourished over the last 2 years. We bring in some of the brightest and best CEOs in and around the state of Arkansas. We learn about the do's and don'ts of being an entrepreneur, how to run, how to grow, how to start a business and make it successful. And ultimately, we find out whether or not our business owners will swim or sink in the tank. As always, I'm sitting here with my co-host, David Sims. So, David, what's new this morning? Did you do anything exciting over the Labor Day holiday?
I did, Rich, man. It was great. We finished our move Friday.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
I've survived it, man. I was dying. Oh, my gosh. Poor Tamara. I think she's still sleeping right now. And then the next morning, we got up and drove down to Dallas to see the Gators play Michigan. Unfortunately, my Gators got chomped pretty bad there.
Hey, but my Cal Bears won.
That's right. Yeah, I saw
they traveled cross-country, played at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time game against North Carolina and won.
Yeah. So that was a good – they showed up.
We do have really to point good. Out we're both Hog fans, but we're transplants to Arkansas.
That's right.
Yeah. So we have two teams.
I'm an official Gog. I'm a Gator Hog. So, yeah. I have a daughter who graduated.
I must be
there.
A Bog then, a Bear Hog.
That's right. Yeah, our Hogs won in big fashion against the Florida A&M Rattlers.
Right. And our friend who had a son playing the Salt Bowl.
Yeah, Salt Bowl. What a blow. I mean, not a blowout, but a real barn burner. 49-42. Our friend, you know, Mark, his son scored 3 touchdowns and got the interview on TV, I think it was.
He got some TV time.
Got some press. He's gonna play at the D1 level. He's a baller. He really is.
That's great.
And this morning, man, I found something new. My daughter Elizabeth told me about this place. Pretty close to where we're staying right now, temporarily. It's called the Nutrition Hub, and met the owners there and got their concoction. It's a pretty...
I had someone just telling me about that last week. They went there, and it's like you walk in. It's like a 3-step meal, but you drink something well, else.
It's kind of great. You start off with a shot. Shot of tequila.
A shot?
No, not tequila. No, that's the afternoon. What was that? No, that's right. No, that's a different bar. That's a different bar. No, but you really do. You start up with a shot, and I forgot what the shot was, but it really kind of wakes you up, and then you have a tea drink.
It's like a super healthy thing.
Yeah, super healthy.
Okay.
And then you have a tea thing, which is high antioxidant, and I said, give me something with the most caffeine, because I was really dragging. I got up early this morning, and still feeling the move, and then a shake, and just really fantastic. Great place over there near Buffalo Wild Wings on Highway 10. So yeah, I had a great morning.
So, do we have to bring you down? Are you going to be buzzing around the room all day?
Well, I'm you can tell I'm pretty amped up right now. Really excited to have our guest here. But anyway, you remember how last week I started off the show? We were talking about some of the stats from the Power of the Entrepreneur video on our sponsor's website, BRS Consulting, at brsconsulting.com. Talked about entrepreneurs. You know, this show is all about entrepreneurs, small business owners. How do we help? How do we encourage entrepreneurs and business owners? And we know, you know, entrepreneurs are the backbone of the American economy. 90% of all privately held companies in the United States. And I came across a challenging article online by Stephen Toback, where he goes a little bit deeper into the statistics of small businesses before they become successful. He says that the hidden truth is that only about 10% of startups actually succeed if you define success as the business owner actually has a profit large enough to live on and save for retirement.
Wow.
And he said, you know, this number jibes with the observed 10% success rate for venture-backed startups. In his research, he's come up with about 8 characteristics that you and your business will need to possess to become one of the 10%ers. So over the next few shows, I'd like to talk about them in order. But the first one that we want to talk about today, I'm going to have our guest come in on it a little bit later once we introduce him. As he says this, he says, you must have a truly differentiated product or service or a way of doing business for a large and growing market that, most importantly, has a value proposition your customers are willing to pay for. If not, you will not gain the momentum or maintain the market share that you need. What are your thoughts about that, Rich?
Well, I'd agree 100% with that. One of my companies that I started back in California, back in the early 90s, tells you how old I am now. We were a mortgage lending business. And we also had a real estate firm in there too. But I remember our big differentiating thing was that, you know, back then there was nothing online. And so it was a ton of paperwork to get a mortgage. And our big thing was we will come to your home or office and do the paperwork with you and for you to take all of that burden off of, you know, hey, just go pull all these documents together and everything else. So that was one way we differentiated. And second is, you know, we wrote some commercials and we had a female voice on those. And at that time, interest rates were coming down like crazy. And so everyone was refinancing. There were six mortgage brokers advertising on the radio station we advertised on. And they said ours got the highest response rate according to the way they track it. And they attribute it to having a female voice, whereas before it was just a bunch of guys talking about how great their rates were. So, but again, that whole innovating and losing market share, we started realizing towards the end of it that eLoan, which just doesn't exist anymore, I think they became Quicken Loans, but it all started going online and we had to choose. Are we going to continue to fight that and put a lot of money into technology, or are we going to back away, go onto that and turn to another profit center? We had a couple other profit centers and some other companies that we just made the decision to back out. So absolutely, you have to differentiate yourself, and there's always competition coming up that's going to try and take your market share.
And technology is a big thing. It's going to come back in the show. We're going to ask our guests to talk about that, and we'll have our millennial opine moment in a little bit as well, where we hear from our producer, Gordon Jensen. But I'd like to go ahead and introduce our guest, Mike Bennett. It's great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. To
have you.
It's good to be here.
Mike is the owner of Bennett Davis Group, a design and marketing firm, and also the owner of the Sir Speedy franchise. I've actually had Mike's firm do much of the design work for my companies and can attest that they're top-notch in their field, help you from everything from conceptualizing your design logo, designing it for you, and taking you from there. And he's been integral to our growth.
Mike, I think you actually did the logo and brand design for the original BRS Consulting, right? Our sponsor.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
It was a great project.
It was fantastic, and it served us well. So, Mike, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us, where'd you grow up? You're an Arkansas native. What'd you do before you got in Bennett Design Group and bought the Sir Speedy franchise?
Well, I'm not originally from Arkansas, but I've lived here longer than I've lived anywhere else in my life. I grew up in Wichita, Kansas. Went to grade school, junior high school, and actually graduated from Wichita State with a degree in
the Shockers.
The Shockers,
there
yeah.
you go.
Yeah, they're doing well these last few years. So, moved here immediately upon graduating from Wichita State. I had family here in the area and lived here for the last, 30 years now. So this is home.
Years. Yeah. Yeah. My wife and I realized we've lived in Arkansas longer than we lived in any place before when we were married, as far as continuously. So in fact, we came out here to work with a nonprofit, did 4 years for that, but we liked it so much. You know, when we left there, everyone, all of our family thought, oh, you're moving back to California, right? And we said, no, we really love Arkansas. The people are the friendliest people we've lived all over, and we just love it here. But let me ask you this, Mike. You have Bennett Davis Group and Sir Speedy Printing. So if I were to ask you to give me a 20-second elevator pitch, okay, so this isn't the Sears Tower. This is, you know, what would you do? What would you say to describe what you do?
We assist companies in their marketing efforts through design and printing. Is what we do. And as you mentioned, differentiating points earlier, ours would be we spend a lot of time really telling the story of the company we're working with. And we put a high value on excellence as it relates to design and printing.
Very good.
And the creativity and the creative aspects of it, too.
You bet. That's the most important part, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that you really shine at. You
know? I should probably leave this for Plead the Fifth, but who's the most creative person in your firm? Is it you?
Well, no. You know, it would depend on what you need, honestly. Okay. Yeah, I've got some very creative people working with me. It's just a blast. It really is.
So. Yeah. So, Mike, why do you do what you do?
I do what I do because I really feel like, if you want to just know the truth, that I feel like that's what I've been gifted to do. I feel like my purpose in life is to be creative and to assist others in reaching their goals. And I feel like that's where my gifting is creativity and throwing in the business side of it as well. So that's what I do. That's why I do. It's not always easy, but I feel like that's my calling.
I hear you.
So if you just tuned in, you are listening to the Arkansas Shrimp Tank coming to you live every Tuesday morning. I'm your host, Rich Jensen, with my co-host, David Sims. You can always catch a replay of the podcast at arkansas.shrimptankpodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to download our podcast on iTunes so you won't miss an episode. And you can always watch all of our 5-minute post-show wrap-up videos on our YouTube channel. So, Mike, we want to move into a section we call critical thinking and just kind of pick your brain as an entrepreneur and maybe pick up some nuggets here and there. So what was it that made you want to be an entrepreneur in the first place?
Yeah, that goes all the way back to my father.
Really?
Yeah, it does. My dad is very creative, very entrepreneurial. He did work in the educational industry, was an assistant dean at UAMS. But I remember from...
So that's when you moved to Little Rock, huh?
It actually is. That's when he moved before I graduated, but I moved down because my family was here.
Got it.
But I can remember my youngest memories, he would tell me, if you want to make what you're worth in life, you have to be in business for yourself.
Wow.
And I don't know if that's always true for everybody, but I believe that was true for me. So, and I would watch him in his various entrepreneurial ventures. We had printing presses in our garage when I grew up, and we had a dark room in the basement. And
wow.
I remember cleaning out rent houses that we had and laundromats and things like that. So it's my dad. And my mom was the same way, though. She was an entrepreneur. She had a daycare in the home, so she was working in the home, and we would have 4 or 5 little kids running around all the time. So
I just love the stories. I mean, this was your father, but my grandfather, I remember hearing the story. He was Danish. And he was working as an apprentice in Denmark. And there you did an apprenticeship for 6 years for room and board. And that was it.
Wow.
And he just decided, you know, the old land of opportunity coming through Ellis Island. And he and my dad ended up starting a construction company in San Francisco right at the bottom of the Depression.
That's pretty cool.
And it's just great to hear those stories, you know, people just really doing it.
You know, it's another really cool thing, too, is to hear about your mom and her role and her entrepreneurial role. Same with my mom and dad. And when I was inside my mom's womb, I mean, my dad borrowed $20,000 from his dad, who was a trucker. And bought a business downtown Winter Park, Florida, and built that. And I worked in it growing up. And that's really kind of the same thing for me. And I know you've got an important partner in your wife and your business.
Most definitely. Yeah.
So, like most business owners I know had a point, and I experienced this myself when I started a couple of companies, and those startup years where they weren't really sure if they were going to make it. Money gets really tight. A competitor opens up right down in their market. Or some other unforeseen occurrence happens. Did that happen to you, and how did you get through it? And third, I would ask, what valuable lesson did you take away from it, if it happened to you?
It has happened, and it happens still.
Yeah. 2008.
Exactly. Well, you know, I've been in business for myself for about 30 years now. When I graduated from school is when I started. And, there were those lean times, you know, when you weren't sure if the sales were going to match the responsibilities you put out there. You get through it just by figuring it out. You know, we would use the traditional means available to us, either through bank loans. I used a lot of 0% credit cards early on.
Transfer one balance to the next.
You do, and you just figure out how to make it happen. And I, you know, you mentioned Renee earlier, David, and she, I don't know that she would call herself an entrepreneur when we got married, although she grew up in a farming family, very entrepreneurial, but she's definitely one now. And she's a physical therapist, work contract PT. Same time she was homeschooling her kids. So you take two entrepreneurs in a house, and when one's down, one may be up. And so we relied on each other very heavily and still do.
And you're really in trouble if you're both down at the same time.
Exactly. But trying to grow a business even now, we still encounter. I mean, you guys have mentioned technology. Technology's changed our industry tremendously. We're not content. Well, back up. We're content and very thankful for where we are, but there's always that next achievement, next level.
Right.
So we still find ourselves in positions many times of going, okay, we're going to reach high, but how do we get there?
Yeah.
How do we keep going?
You absolutely can't sit on your laurels anymore, not with technology.
Not at all.
Right. And that's what we want to go into in the third question. But before that, we're going to have what I mentioned at the beginning, our millennial opine time, where our producer, Gordon Jensen, millennial advisor on our team here, and I want him to speak to this question that I teed up with Tobax from Tobax's article about the first key of entrepreneurial success, and that is about the differentiated product or service or the way of doing business. So, Gordon, let me ask you this. If you were about to start a marketing campaign in your business, what comes to your mind first? and what would you do? Where would you go? Who would you consult with? And so forth.
Sure. So marketing definitely isn't my wheelhouse. So my expertise there is rather limited. But I think I would start with MailChimp. That's a platform that I'm familiar with. I know that I can create templates and campaigns and send those out to my network organically, get feedback, track clicks, and see what the rate is on people's interest on that. But I know that from the consulting side, I definitely need to meet with people who know that industry more. That's their bread and butter. Mm-hmm. Seek out their opinions and learn, once it extends outside of my organic network, how to tap into other markets and create other leads, so on and so forth.
Mm. What about a website? Would you do want to create a website?
I know a guy. Yeah. My brother-in-law does a good website. So yeah, definitely. I know that I have people around me, you know, being the younger guy, being the millennial, who that's their expertise and they really know how to do that, whether it be the web design or growing the social media presence. I definitely have peers who are experts in that, but right now I'm not so well suited to go that front myself.
That's good. Well, Mike, I want you to play off with what we've talked about so far, what you heard from Gordon here, and I'll kind of reiterate Toback's first point about entrepreneurial success, that you must have a truly differentiated product and service. And keep in mind this whole technology point and how it's impacting you and forcing you to innovate and to transition the business. And so how are you addressing these issues in your business and your industry? How are you innovating?
Well, Gordon mentioned social media platforms. We're using that. What's the top? It really is tough these days. I mean, we're looking to see what our competition's doing. Frankly, we're evaluating how long we think it'll actually be competition. I mean, we look at things right now where in the printing industry, I'll take that specifically. I have people bring quotes to me that are well below my cost.
Wow.
And I know they're below my cost. I mean, I just do. And so you look at the model, and they're big, massive companies. A lot of times they're publicly traded companies. And so I have to measure how long can I wait this out, because their model is not sustainable in many cases. Hmm. They're either operating off of funds that they're receiving by being a publicly traded company or heavy investing. So we look at what do we have to do to compete in the meantime.
And basically selling at a loss to gain market share.
That's what they're doing. Yeah. I really believe that happens a lot. So we combat it, though, by really trying to be, not in an arrogant way, but become the expert in the things that Gordon mentioned. Some great things there as far as MailChimp, social media platforms. But those are simply platforms and tools to get the message out. Mm-hmm. The creativity of the message, even within your own social network, is tremendously valuable. Mm-hmm. If you have a group of people that are all doing subpar creative messages or looks, or if you go with the templated look that MailChimp puts out there, then you begin to look like everybody else at some point. So the platforms are important, and it's great to know how to use them, but you really have to have an excellent creative look and message that differentiates yourself in that realm. I think that's more important than the platform is.
The platform will get it out there, but the content on the platform is what's really going to bring results.
Content is king. It really is.
Yeah. And that kind of brings up my other two questions playing off of that. First of all, innovating. You're innovating. You're being forced to innovate. And I think you probably have some things you're doing that to kind of carve out that niche and that area of excellence. And the second thing you kind of mentioned, people. You know, who are the key people? Do you have any Gen Xers or millennials on your team who are key partners in this transition and these innovations?
No, most definitely.
Yeah, talk about this.
You have a young man named Alex Stauffer that became a designer with us about 4 years ago. And Alex,
Gen Xer, millennial?
You know what? Differentiating the age. What is the age of millennial?
How do you keep track anyway?
I think he's millennial.
XY.
He kind of looks like Gordon.
He does look like Gordon. Yeah. Not as tall, but he's kind of like Gordon.
At some point, it starts blurring. You're going to the, the baby boomers, and then you got the Gen Xers, and you got the Gen Yers, and you got the millennials. It's like, who's who anymore?
That's right. And now there's the ones below Gordon, and these guys are the iGen.
Yeah.
iGen.
iGen.
What, Internet Gen?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like iPhone Gen, iGen, you know, they're always new.
So Apple's going to be trademarking the name of an entire generation. Those guys know how to market, I'll tell you.
Well, I'll tell you though, Alex, we do joke about it because I can, you know, as whatever generation I am, you know, mid-50s, so.
You're a boomer with us, man.
Yeah, boomer, okay, that's me then. So And I can get negative once in a while about the millennials or whatever. I get negative about my own generation, frankly.
You want to have a little bit of opine time? Boomer opine time? Don't go to whining, man. We're not going to get you some cheese with that wine and start opining with your wine.
But Alex is great. But he's not what I would call the typical. I mean, he grew up in a hardworking entrepreneurial family as well. And so in many ways, even though he's half my age, and technically he works for me, but I don't view him that way at all. He works with me. I view him as a peer.
Yeah.
And because we think the same thing about excellence, we think the same thing about what's really going to make a difference.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you also have, I'm pretty sure he is probably a Gen Xer. And that's Billy, right?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Billy. Yeah.
So talk about him and how important he is to your success and how you guys are dealing with the technology landmines and the radical, transformations that are happening in your industry.
If something happened to Billy, I think I'd be done. I really do.
Throw in the towel?
Oh, my goodness.
I tell David all the time, if something happened to me, he'd be done.
I think that's right. That's very, very true. Because the analogy to Billy the Rich is so true. Man. I don't have to worry about anything when it comes to that. It's same thing for you and Billy, right?
Oh, yes. Now, Billy and I've looked, though. It's been hard. We've been very blessed. Billy and I have been working together for, 16, 17 years.
Wow.
And we started with just there was three of us at the time, very low in invoicing, but we've grown it. The Lord's allowed us to invest in some real estate and do some other things. But as we look at the future of the printing industry and design and that, it does make you wonder what directions do we need to – what else do we need to look at? And Billy's very entrepreneurial. I saw something in a TED Talk here this last week where they were talking about measuring IQ and how you can do that in schools and such. But the one thing that this lady was talking about is this element of grit.
Yeah.
And
Duckworth. Isn't her name Duckworth?
Yeah. I don't remember her name.
That book and her talks are fantastic.
I need to watch it again.
It's fantastic.
But that's what I would tell you that Billy has, is he has that intangible element of grit. Mm. And it challenges me, and we work great together. And it's been great.
I was reading another article, an entrepreneur somewhere. I was doing some research on entrepreneur, and the five best books for entrepreneurs to read, and grit was on that
list. Is that right?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. We're going to take a short break to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back with our guest, Mike Bennett of the Bennett Davis Group and Sir Speedy Printing, we'll be asking some seeking wisdom questions and find out how Mike feels about the 10% statistic we discussed at the start of our show, as well as get into our hot or not segment where we'll hear Mike's answer to the question, hot or not, Mike, personal relationships with employees or strictly business?
Here's Jimmy Ellis, president of the Jim Ellis Automotive Group, family-owned and operated since 1971.
I'm often asked what I enjoy most about working for a family-owned and operated business. And while the list is long, one thing that rises to the top, the opportunity to give back to our local communities. It's a practice my dad started 46 years ago and one that continues to shape our business today. And we wouldn't have that privilege without the support of our valuable customers. It's a simple philosophy, but it works. The more satisfied customers we create, the more we're able to give back. And because customer satisfaction is one of the cornerstones of our business, we created the Jim Ellis Promise, our way of emphasizing the higher level of service our customers can expect. To learn more about the Jim Ellis Promise, our brands, and to browse our inventory of cars, trucks, and SUVs, visit jimellis.com today. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
And welcome back to the Shrimp Tank, where we interview young and some not so young entrepreneurs. In fact, three baby boomers sitting there thinking, man, we are misrepresenting.
Hey,
representing the show.
We feel young, brother. We feel young.
It's sort of like Mel Gibson in the We Were Soldiers. We were entrepreneurs. I'm your co-host.
We Were Soldiers and Young.
That's right. I'm your host, Rich Jensen, along with my co-host, David Sims. You can always catch a replay of the podcast if you missed any of the segments today by going to arkansas.shrimptankpodcast.com. Don't forget to download our podcast on iTunes in case you miss an episode, or check out all of our CEOs on our YouTube channel, also at arkansas.shrimptankpodcast.com YouTube. Hey, we're going to try and gain some extra wisdom from our guest, Mike Bennett of Bennett Davis Group and Sir Speedy Printing. First question, Mike. Before the break, we mentioned an article about Stephen Toback that he thinks only 10% of businesses truly succeed, if you factor in actually making a living and saving for retirement. Would you agree with that, and why or why not?
I don't know enough to really speak. I probably would agree with it. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't really know why I would agree with it, though. I just know it's really tough to be in business for yourself.
Actually, it's like, besides money, you know, what do you think are your favorite ways to compensate people? Because money can be, you know, when things are tight, it can be a bit difficult.
We've tried to include our employees when we have opportunity and actual little bit of ownership.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. New project we've just started here recently was a publication that's going to be directed towards the homeschool athlete. And Alex, being an entrepreneur and still being young, it was a good opportunity for he and I to discuss having ownership in that particular segment of our business.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, I always say, you know, if someone's going to work a lot harder if they're working for themselves as opposed to just punching a clock.
Right.
So that's a great way to think about. Although, I guess you really have to think long and hard as you take on equity partners, because you're also giving up some control.
Right.
And some. I think you mentioned you and Billy were equity partners. What was that, kind of a natural progression, or did you have to think long and hard before you decided to do that?
No, it was a natural progression. That was actually, we started out when he first became employed with Bennett Davis Group. That was part of his original package. Billy's sharp enough and entrepreneur enough to come back to the table with another proposal, and it was based on time. And he said, if I were to work with you for X number of years, how could this grow?
Wow, so he was thinking like an entrepreneur right off the bat.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. All right, hot or not, okay? Personal relationships with employees or keep it strictly business?
Oh, you have to keep it strictly business.
Really?
Yeah.
So, because Billy's
the employee.
Talking
about, what are you talking about now? Talking about employees?
Getting to know your employees.
Oh, no. Let me back up then. Absolutely not. Yeah, you have to know your employees.
Okay.
There does have to be an element of strictly business, but in our group, there's only 9 of us that work with Bennett Davis Group and Sir Speedy, and you have to know what makes all of them tick, what's important to them. There has to be some sort of family feel and an aspect to it.
It's interesting. I can't remember if I was watching something on TV or this or that, but this one person said, I don't want to get too close to people in case I have to fire them.
No.
I thought, what? But do I want to work for a guy that doesn't want to get close to me?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's been the case. We've had to fire people that we were close to. I don't even like to use the word fire. I mean, it's just sometimes just the paths don't go together anymore.
Right.
And there's people that, I still have close relationships with the people who used to work with me that no longer do.
Mm.
So
that's the way you want to part paths.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
All right, Mike. So hot or not, question number 2, debt.
I don't see anything wrong with debt. I think I have a lot of close friends who are entrepreneurs that are adverse to that, but we've used it. We're very careful how we use it. I think it's a very...
And in your business, you've got a lot of big equipment.
We do.
The print business. I mean, there's big, heavy-duty capital, pretty heavy capital-intensive expenditures that you have to...
Most of that stuff, honestly, though, is on lease type situations. Okay. So there's a limited time. But, you know, we'll have 5-6-year leases.
Well, leasing is a kind of financing.
It is.
Yeah.
The beauty about leasing is, by the time the thing's antiquated, your lease is up, and so you can get new equipment, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, all right, hot or not? Starting with a franchise or going solo? You've basically done both.
We bought the existing franchise here in Little Rock.
Okay.
And I think there's advantages to both. With all the opportunity out there now, if I were just starting, I probably would look at franchise.
But when you started Bennett Davis Design Group,
it was just no franchise.
Right?
Yeah, it was. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Looking back at both of them, what do you think was probably the most beneficial or positive thing that comes out of each, whether it's franchise or starting your own, since you have experience in both?
The benefit that we're finding with franchise is they have tremendous amount of expertise over a wide geographic area in years, really decades of experience that we can pull from. It costs us, obviously, a certain amount of gross sales each month. Mm-hmm. And we're learning, actually, since we've only had that franchise for about 4 years now, we're actually learning how to actually take advantage and leverage that. Just some different mindset. Being in business for myself for close to 30, I didn't realize what was all available to me at the franchise level. We bought the business simply for the book of business and the stance in the market here.
All right, hot or not? Key man insurance on your key equity partner.
Very hot. Sizzling hot. You have to have it.
Hot or not? Great lawyer and financial advisor to help you make those decisions.
Here it comes again. Burning hot. How much did you pay him for that answer, Dave?
And all right, so hot or not, we're going to have some fun with this one. Head coaching high school basketball and serving as athletic director and starting a new business while you're running your business.
It's been an interesting couple of years. It's been fun, though.
Yeah. That's a David's dad used to tell him, son, you're trying to put 2 tons on a 1 ton truck.
I heard David say that.
Yeah, and I always say, you ought to see Mike Miniman. That boy put 10 tons on a 1 ton truck.
Well, we're going to take a short break to hear from one of our sponsors. And when we come back with our guest, Mike Bennett of Bennett Davis Group and Sir Speedy, we're going to go into our Plead the Fifth segment of the show. We'll hear if Mike is willing to answer our pointed questions or will he plead the fifth.
Are you in the market for vehicle graphics, signs, banners, or a display for your next trade show event? The Color Spot is one of the nation's leading providers of digital wide format graphics and printing solutions. We strive to build solid partnerships with our clients based on trust, integrity, service, and quality products that exceed the expectations of our clients. Visit our website at tcs.inc or call us at 877-345-7768.
And welcome back to the Shrimp Tank, where we interview young entrepreneurs and those who were once young, along with some of the brightest and best CEOs in Arkansas. I'm your host, Rich Jensen, along with my esteemed co-host, David Sims. You can always catch a replay of the podcast if you miss any of the segments today at arkansas.shrimptankpodcast.com. And don't forget to download our podcast at iTunes in case you miss an episode. Or you want to check out all of our CEO post-show wrap-up videos, you can go to our YouTube channel. For our next segment, we want to gain a little entrepreneurial wisdom from our guest, but we're going to do it in a different form. We're going to ask him questions, and he can either answer them, and if he does, he gets a point. If he pleads the fifth, we get a point. So, David, you want to ask the first question?
Yes. All right. So we closed out talking about, in my view, I think you might tend to load 10 tons on a 1 ton truck. True or not?
Oh, it's definitely true.
True. Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely true.
So would your wife agree?
Oh, she would definitely agree.
Your dad?
Everybody would agree with that.
Okay. 1 point for you.
Okay. I got one. Let's see if he pleads the fifth on this. Remember now, Billy and Alex are listening to this. Do you make maximum use of technology in your business?
No, we don't.
You don't?
No. We're learning how to, but we don't currently. Yeah.
We were kind of hoping you'd try and say yes, and they'd call into the show.
Yeah, that's right. I think Mike's too honest, man. He might just he might send himself to jail if he...
Okay, Mike, you've never done a podcast before, you said. Were you nervous before starting this
one? Oh, yeah. Very nervous.
Really? We're such nice guys.
I know you are. I know you've known you for so long, but it's still nerve-wracking.
Okay, let's get personal here. Have you ever invited dinner guests over to the house before asking your wife?
Well, you know what? I don't even know that I have. I don't imagine.
Man, this guy's an angel.
Gosh. We're going to have to have Renee on the cook.
All right, I got one. Our producer, Gordon Jensen, you coached him in basketball. All right. Was he the best player you'd ever had on your team before?
Come on, I'll mute your mic if I think you're going to say no.
You know what? There's so many.
You can plead the fifth.
I don't have to, though.
Oh,
you
know, we can't get a point here, David.
He knows I was the best. That's it.
We need to have a judge here to direct the witness to answer the question. Your Honor, would you please direct the witness to answer the question?
There's so many guys.
Hostile witness.
So many guys I've coached over the years. And what's fun is when you see a young man that's now married, obviously successful, moving on. I mean, there's so many different aspects of players that I have many best players that I've coached. Yeah. I really have. And Gordon's one of them.
Now, we're getting skunked on this thing.
I don't like this.
All right, here we go. Have you ever missed an important family event or holiday due to work?
I have.
Ah, yeah. Man, you're still scoring. All right, what about your wife's birthday?
Have I missed my wife's birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, I have. I've not forgotten. I've not forgotten, but Renee, when I try to think of how can I celebrate my wife's birthday, she's such an incredible woman, and everything that I think of to do for her or to get her seems to always pale in how much I think I should be doing for her.
Hmm.
So many times I'll show up with nothing, saying, honey, I don't know what to do for you.
Wow.
And sometimes that's, you know, I think she understands it now, but early on, she didn't quite understand that. But no, I
don't. All right, here's a quick series. I got you. All right, quick cross examination. What's your anniversary?
December 9th.
What year?
1989.
When was your first date?
First date
to Renee.
First date. I don't know the first date. I remember when we met.
You can plead.
Plead it. Plead it, baby.
I'll plead it.
All right, we got one for us. All right, here's another one. What was Renee wearing on your first date?
Plead the fifth.
All right, children's birth dates.
In order.
January 26th.
Year?
1993. September 13th, 1995. And January 1st, 1999.
Man. Wow. Nailed it. All right. Okay. So we do have to pay for lunch. We forgot to tell you that if you lost, you pay for lunch. But no, it's on us. All right.
You wondered why we asked for your credit card number before you came on the show, didn't you?
So, Mike, our sponsor, BRS Consulting, refers to themselves as rehirement advisors, meaning that if you achieve all your business goals, what then? That is to say, what's your passion? What drives you? And what's your game plan to get there? And then once you reach that rehirement goal, what do you most want to have the freedom to do? Talk about those things.
I love your concept of putting yourself in a position of rehirement. I've talked about this with my guys at the office. I don't ever see retirement even in my future. I'd like to be at the point where I could say I would retire if I'd want to, but we absolutely, you mentioned Gordon, mentioned the Flames and coaching. I'd absolutely love to spend more time doing things like that. Mm-hmm. The Little Rock Flames here, the homeschool group is incredible. We've got incredible families. And I could see spending time doing that. And I've got three kids that, as the Lord moves them through life, will hopefully find spouses or interest and maybe grandkids at some point. And I'd love to spend time really building what my father and mother built into me mm-hmm. through entrepreneurism into them.
That's great. Thanks.
Well, Mike, we want to thank you so much for coming on the program today. For the folks who want to get in touch with you and learn more about Bennett Davis Design Group or Speedy Printing, how can they get more information?
Our two websites you can go to are bdglr.com or sirspeedylr.com.
Great. And is there a phone number or 800 number if they're like me and they don't always go online to find things?
You know, I actually give out my cell number
for those things.
Yeah.
Wow. Does Renee like you doing that?
It's perfectly fine. So I wouldn't mind giving that. It's 501-258-3019.
All right. Well, hey, next week we'll be here on the Shrimp Tank once again with another great successful entrepreneur. Today we've been with Mike Bennett of Bennett Davis Group and Sir Speedy Printing. Make sure you check out all of our replays at arkansas.shrimptankpodcast.com. And remember, to become a shark, we all start out a shrimp.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank. Word to Chris Hanks. I'm going to put it all together. This is big thanks. Doing big things. Chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real. This life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream. All the dudes yell. This is just what I do, and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell. Well, homie, keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever.